2. Chorus 107. Gott ist noch auf dem Plan und alles ist ihm untertan.
Gott ist noch auf dem Plan und alles ist ihm untertan. Wenn Nacht uns bedeckt und Satan uns schreckt, so stimmen wir siegesvoran. Gott ist noch auf dem Plan und alles ist ihm untertan. Weil er uns bewahrt, leidet Furcht uns erspart. Gott ist noch auf dem Plan. Gott ist noch auf dem Plan und alles ist ihm untertan. Wenn Nacht uns bedecken und Satan uns schrecken, so stimmen wir siegesvoran. Gott ist noch auf dem Plan und alles ist ihm untertan. Weil er uns bewahrt, bleiben Furcht uns erspart.
Also today, the faithful Lord will prove His grace anew. We have come in faith and great expectation, and he who puts his trust in the Lord will not be ashamed. He who expects something from men will be disappointed by men. He who expects it from God will receive everything what he has prepared. Also today, we are greeting all of you. We welcome all of you in the precious name of our beloved Lord and Savior. Beginning from the far north, from this continent, from Finland, as already mentioned yesterday, via Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, via Italy, Switzerland, Austria, Belgium, France, the Netherlands. We are just gathered here, internationally gathered. Even from Cape Town, we have our three brothers who feel at home in our midst. Actually, we are all belonging together, worldwide. We are a great family. And of course, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, from all peoples, tongues and nations, we will sit at the same table. And together, we will thank the Lord for what He has done for us by His grace. When I think on our brethren from Africa, then it fills me with a special joy. Since more than 30 years, I have traveled across the African countries and looking after them, and the fruit which came up from it is so tremendous. Wherever I come now, be it in the USA, to Canada, to Athens, wherever it might be, I'm meeting brethren from Africa who some time ago were sitting in a meeting hearing the word of God, and even from the Sudan and wherever it might be, everywhere are brethren who some time ago heard the word and having been touched by it on the inside, and who then somewhere along the line emigrated to other countries. Today we have also our brothers from Brussels, from Paris, from Orléans, from Lyon, from everywhere. And these are brothers whom the Lord used in a wonderful way. Then we have our brothers here, Brother Müller, a minister of the word since generations. Just so nice that God has brothers in all languages who are preaching his word. Brother Kupfer, who is German and French. The Elsass was, of course, once upon a time German and not anymore. But we are just joined with one another in the Lord. Then our friends from Prague, from Bratislava, from everywhere, from south and north. And when we then think about that the service is being transmitted, that it can be heard in Chile and in other countries, then we are just thankful for it. By the way, from Chile, I have the best news of the year 2004. You heard about my trip last October, and then also in December again. Altogether, I baptized now exactly 160 brothers and sisters in Chile, who only since last January have heard the message, getting just then in contact with us, and also in contact with the Lord. Today, 3 weeks ago, I was baptizing the last four in Santiago in the moon shadow. Just so nice that the Lord calls his own out. And we would like to greet our brethren in Chile in a special way, wishing them God's richest blessing. Then it went on to Peru, through the whole South and Latin America, the whole world, up to Nepal, and wherever people are tuning in tonight to hear with us the word of the Lord. It is so wonderful that God has given us this opportunity. But as I found out last night, after the service, when I reached my home, the telephone was ringing, and a Palestinian who has in Germany the responsibility for the Muslims in those areas, he was phoning me, and he wanted to speak urgently with me. I should give an appointment, because we did not present the Prophet Muhammad in an honorable way, and he knows about the message quite well. He told me, "Mr. Frank, I know you. I observed the work long enough. You, of course, don't want that we as Muslims say something against the Prophet William Branham. And we, as Muslims, we don't want that you are saying something against our Prophet." So, people are listening. People do know of what is being published, of what is being preached. But as far as I know, We never said something hurtful about any religion. I promised this kind gentleman to be ready for a conversation. And then, of course, I was asking that we must have a foundation for this conversation. And the only foundation which I accept is the Bible, the Holy Scripture. And then he said, of course, I cannot accept it. Give me the right to bring along my foundation. And I said, all right, you can do that, but I will not accept it. And then, of course, came a few things which are on the agenda in all of the Arabic world. The things are just turned upside down. That what the Palestinians are doing to the Israelites are done in their eyes by the Israelites to the Palestinians. And he told me whether I would not know what the Israelites are doing to the Palestinians. And I noticed it's the same distortion of facts which I since many, many years noticed in all of the Arabic world, especially once in Syria, in Aleppo, when the preacher indeed had the courage and before the whole congregation he has put everything upside down and was blaming Israel. I then told this nice kind gentleman, God is in no religion, also not in Judaism. God is not in Judaism. God is not in Christendom. God is in no dom. God was manifested in Jesus Christ. There's only one manifestation of God on this earth, and this happened in Jesus Christ our Lord. And one must say to the whole world that the religions are the greatest obstacle for mankind to in fact get in contact with God. We will see what will come out of this. In any case, we have the duty to preach the Word of God. And please, keep it forever in your heart. We are not only having the duty to preach the Word of God, the Word of truth, but according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church herself, the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. She supports the divine truth. And this is the duty, the inheritance which God has entrusted us with, which God has given us. Just to differentiate and separate the words of men from the Word of God. Words of men are words of men. The sooner we forget it, the better. But God's Word remains forever. And he who has received the Word of God in him, he remains with the Word forever. Many things could be said. I would like to read one verse from Isaiah 51. We have read now from verse 1 to 8, and then it says in verse 9, after the lining out in the first verses, Isaiah 51 verse 9, awake, awake, Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, in the generations of old. When we speak about the end time, about the soon return of Jesus Christ, then we connect with it the desire that the arm of the Lord might be revealed. According to the scripture, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord upholds the victory. And we want that this victory of God is being manifested. And as I said already, the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. She is the place of revelation of the living God. She is the body of Jesus Christ. He is the head, and we are the members. And it must come to the point that we all are united by one Spirit, namely by the Holy Spirit, united into one body and being baptized into one body. For us, as a guideline for this service, we read from James, James chapter 5, from verse 7, and then we will come briefly to the current events, and then again we will come back to this word. James chapter 5, from verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We have said it here last night. The promises, the announcements of what must happen before the return of Jesus Christ are being fulfilled before our eyes. And we were reading the words from Matthew 24, verse 33. We were mentioning it, in which the Lord himself said, when you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Then we have read the word from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, where it speaks of the sea and waves roaring, as we have seen it on the last Sunday of December 2004. Here it says, in the second part of the verse 25, in Luke 21, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. This, the newspapers are writing, this 140,000 people in Southeast Asia have witnessed it. What kind of impact it has when an earthquake happens, And when the waters are getting into motion, reaching high speeds up to 800 kilometers per hour, for us it's of course unthinkable. Generally, when one takes off with an aircraft, then already at 350, 360, 370, the plane takes off. And there, with such a speed and with such a force, the destruction came. Today, we will look at some scriptures which show us three times the birth pains. Firstly, the birth pains which are going on this earth, and then the birth pains with Israel, and then the birth pains with the New Testament church. Everywhere there are labor pains before a birth, birth pains. This all know who became mothers. Before a child is born, pain is coming, labor pains, and only then comes the birth. And this was what is happening now is a drop in a bucket in comparison to what is about to come. I'll read now already, before we go back into the Old Testament, I'll read from Revelation chapter 6. It is the text of the seventh seal. And what will happen at the time when the seventh seal will become a reality? You also must keep that in mind. Before the opening of the seals, the Lord gave the instruction that Brother Branham should return to Jeffersonville, to his home church, because the time of the opening of the seals has come. But between the opening and the revelation of the seals, and between the actual fulfillment, can be time spans. And as we found out, the first four seals, of course, pertain to the 2,000 years which are behind us. In the first seal, the Antichrist in his first stage, then the second seal, third, fourth seal, pertain to the other side, namely that the enemy is doing his work, of course everything under a religious cloak. And the fifth seal shows us the Jews whose souls are under the altar crying for vengeance, partly behind us, partly ahead of us, because it is written, rest a little while until the rest of the brethren will also be killed as you were killed. So, the past, the 6 millions, are not forgotten with God. God does not forget anything, and especially if it is about His people, He will definitely not forget. But I just want to say, between the opening of the revelation of the seals and the fulfillment can be time spans which are alone in God's authority and power. He decides about all things. Here we have, in the time of the sixth seal, that men will cry to the mountains and to the rocks that they should be covered. It's written here In Revelation, chapter 6, from verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That what happened now is in comparison to that what is to come, a very small thing. And then it says, verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Then we go straight to Revelation, chapter 16. And please, differentiate now between the sixth seal and the seventh vial. Here we have, in Revelation 16, from verse 17, the seventh vial which will be poured out. I read from verse 19, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Before, the mountains were still there. The great men and the clergymen at that time, clothed in their pomp, they could cry, mountains, fall on us, rocks, cover us. But here no more. Here the mountains were not here anymore. The islands vanished away. Nothing was found anymore. No one can hide then anymore. Brothers and sisters, we do not rejoice about this. We have great sorrow that mankind has turned away from God in such a way, and that in all religions the deception is so great. And if we go one step further, even in Christendom, in the 342 Christian denominations which are presently united in the World Council of Churches, all are having their doctrines, and no one thinks of to believe what God has promised for this time. And this includes, and this we say with much grief, this includes also the last great movement, the Pentecostal movement, is of course included. Everywhere, big business, great meetings, everywhere, movements, everywhere, the great men have something to offer, but they distract the people of that what God had promised and what He is doing right now. And here, all the signs and miracles do not help, because they are looked on as a confirmation of the man and not as the confirmation of the Word of God. True servants of God will never refer the confirmation unto themselves. But as in the early church, in Mark 16, in the last verses, there is written, "And the Lord confirmed the word with signs and wonders following." It's of course not the great charismatic, not the great preacher, but the great God who reveals and manifests His power and glory. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, not only Matthew 24 and Mark 13, but also Matthew 7 from verse 21. "Many on that day will come, not only those who prayed the rosary or who called upon Mary, also those will come who did great signs and wonders, who prophesied, but who prophesied around God." Brothers and sisters, the matter is really very, very serious. We cannot go according to what our eyes perhaps observe, but with us it shall find confirmation. "Thy word is my lamp unto my feet and a light on my path." Everything must be checked with the word. And therefore, we put the great emphasis on that the Bible truths are being preached in the church of the living God in all seriousness and truthfulness, and that they are also believed. If I now say that it is our holy duty to not continue to insult God anymore by believing and acting unbiblical, but that we become well-pleasing to God by believing biblically, living biblically, and acting biblically, and by this get in line with God. So, the moment comes, thanks be to God, it comes after the rapture. We will still witness some of the birth pains which will come upon the face of the earth, but the direct finish, this we will not witness anymore, because the Lord will return to take us unto Himself. Let us read a couple of scriptures from the Old and then also from the New Testament. In the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 13, and this, let me say this here. When we read the promise that God wanted to send a prophet like Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, then it is important to know what the day of the Lord includes. And there we have the descriptions which are in connection with the day of the Lord. We have it in a manifold way. We read, for instance, in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 13, from verse 11. Maybe we read straight from verse 6 first. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And now it comes. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at the other. Their faces shall be as flames. And then we have the closer description of what all is connected with it. Even the sun shall be darkened. Verse 10. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Here we have, when we read these chapters, the details described of what will happen in nature, of what takes place in connection with Israel, of what takes place in connection with the end time and with the church. Everything is written in this book. He, for instance, has read in Isaiah 13, verse 4 and 5, he found out that there it is about the gathering of nations who will go to battle against Jerusalem. If we then go to Isaiah 66, there we have the description of Israel herself up to the mentioning of the Mount Zion. Let us read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66, from verse 6. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple. So, at that time, when this happens, the temple will be rebuilt already, and the temple is already will be measured in Revelation 11, when the two prophets will have their ministry in Jerusalem. Let me say this here again. As the Jews who want to participate in what God will do when their time has come, all must return into the land of promise, to when the moment comes and when God turns to them, to partake of the blessing which God will give there. The same it is, of course, with all the believers in this time. We must be led into the word of truth to have part in everything what God will still do. He who remains standing outside of the promises, he remains outside of what God will do in the consummation. Brothers and sisters, we are not playing with your time, and also not with the precious time which God is still giving us. We just wish that the believers, the true believers, get the overall view that we cannot compare ourselves with others. It's impossible. There is no way of comparing of the church of Jesus Christ with all the other churches. The church of the Lord is the blood-bought flock, the flock of the firstborn, chosen from before the foundation of the world, being predestinated as the sons and daughters of God according to the good pleasure of His will. And those whom He called with this high and holy calling, them He also justified. And those who He justified, He also glorified. That's how it is written in Romans 8. And that's how it is true. And that's how it happens. And it will happen. And then the wonderful word in Hebrews, for by the offering of His body He has sanctified forever them who are obedient to Him. So, now, not only a general faith is required, but obedience of faith. Obedience must be connected with faith, and faith must be connected with obedience. Let us read from Isaiah 66, from verse 6. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to His enemies. And now it comes in reference to Israel. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. And now comes the direct description of what it's all about. From verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a nation be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once?
Dann wieder die direkte Ergänzung des Gedankens, und doch ist Zion.
For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Here we have already the hint for Israel, for Mount Zion, upon which the 144,000 in Revelation 14 are shown. Brothers and sisters, the prophets, and especially John on the Isle of Patmos, he of course had seen already the plan of salvation of God in its realization, in its completion. With God, all things are already here, although they still have to take place. With Him, everything is decided, and it happens as He promised. Concerning the day of the Lord, so we have it here in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, we have this wonderful hint. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Maybe it should be said here once. You have to visualize the epistles without the structures of chapters. The chapter arrangement comes from the 16th century. Also, the verse arrangement. Before, all the letters were written down in one flow, written on scrolls. The arrangement into chapters and verses came only later. And when we now read here, let's say
in the first
verse of chapter 5, then we must go back to chapter 4 to know what he was referring to when he said of the times and the seasons. Ye have no need that I write unto you. Before, Paul has written, especially from verse 13, as how it would be with the return of the Lord. And he says here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, verse 13, second part, that ye sorrow not even as others who have no hope. And here are some criteria which all shall take to heart, not only we who believe biblically, but also all who want still be corrected. When the Lord returns, then all who sleep in Christ come with him, because they shall rise first. Let me read it to you in verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 4. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. They will be part of, for the dead shall rise first. When somebody comes now and says, the parousia has happened already, no. This we will emphasize up to the end. Every event which is important in the plan of salvation is always connected to reality. The Lord will return, and those who sleep in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we will be changed. This is the Holy Scripture. And here we have then in verse 16, the statement, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So, first, the wake-up call must go forth. And he who wishes to know more about the wake-up call, he must go to Matthew 25. There, the wake-up call sounds forth. For all the virgins slept, both the foolish and the wise. But at midnight, there was not only a cry, it was a wake-up call. To wake up, to not fall asleep again. Some people in the natural have the character, the habit, after they were woken up, they wish to prolong their sleep a bit. This one may not do. In the spiritual, one may not do this. The wake-up call has gone forth. We do not sleep like the others who have no hope. We have been woken up. It has become light in the evening time. The wake-up call goes forth. And the true church, the bride church, does not fall asleep again, but has the task to sound forth this wake-up call into all the world, so that all who belong to the bride church are awakened. But to emphasize this once again, after Paul set forth everything in 1 Thessalonians 4 about the rapture and how it will be, straight in chapter 5 he is referring to the great event. He says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." And we cannot go here into details, but he comes then to the day of the Lord. And this is again a mystery. In all of the Old Testament, the day of the Lord is the terrible, the dreadful day. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 20, this day is the great and glorious day. Yes. And then all are at their wits' end with their Latin and Greek and all the languages. And they need revelation to bring the thing unto one denominator. For us, this day is glorious. A notable day when Jesus returns. And the day of the Lord and the day of Jesus Christ will be so close to each other. Hear the rapture, and then the second part. We could all read here the scriptures. I wrote them down. I wrote down all the scriptures to pass them on to you, so that you might know that is also written like this in the New Testament, and that we see the difference between day of the Lord as the terrible day, the day of reckoning, and the day of Jesus Christ, which is for us of greatest importance. To just see this difference, just note down the scriptures which I wrote down here. Acts 2, verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great day of the Lord comes. The great and notable. Just look it up. The great and glorious. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Corinthians 1, verse 8. So dass ihr am Tage unseres, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. That we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours, in the day of our Lord Jesus. Philippians 1, verse 6. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Then Philippians 2, verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. We see how the apostles in the New Testament divided the word of truth rightly, how they placed everything with the prophetic word, They have written for the church what applies for her, and then for Israel, what applies to Israel. Everything is put in an order. Maybe for us as German-speaking, it should be also said here, as it was already said once. In our language, we probably have one of the best translations which you can find on the face of the earth. But there are a few points which our reformers did not see by revelation. And this is the thought with the last day and the last judgment. If you would ask in our country any man who has a good general educational background, and you would ask him, what do you understand under the term youngest judgment? Then all would answer, it's the last judgment when the Lord God will give the verdict. And this is correct. But it is not correct as the German Bible says it. The Bible never speaks about the youngest day, but about the last day. And in all languages on the face of the earth, it's written correctly, last day. In no translation on this earth is written youngest day, only in the German. But it's written last day, last judgment. And we just have to come to terms with this. Also, even in the Elberfelder translation, everywhere is written, for instance, John 6 verse 40, it's written also in the French, Spanish, Russian, Polish, in all translations, it says correctly, John 6, verse 40, everyone who sees the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. With us, in the German Bible says, at the youngest day. But here's the point. After the last days, shall I read you all the scriptures about the last days? I wrote them down into my Bible to always have them ready wherever I am, be it English or in gym. About the last days, we have many scriptures in the Old and New Testament. In the last days, saith God, there I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And since Pentecost, we are living in the two last days. And to these last days follows only one last day, the seventh day, the seventh millennium. Time has begun. Time will end. Eternity never began and will also never end. So when our Lord says, I will raise him on the last day, then we know that the resurrection comes right at the beginning of the last day, right at the end of the two last days, at the beginning of the last day. And this is the day of Jesus Christ, unto which we are all waiting for. What a glorious agreement of the Word of God. The same way, in John chapter 6, verse 54, John 6, verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 11, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. John 12, verse 48, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. One can follow up this subject and see how everything is in place in the Holy Scripture. But you see, we need revelation on every step. Without revelation, we cannot walk one step in the kingdom of God. Now the other places which I have noted down concerning the end time and also what is connected to the day of the Lord, note down Joel chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Joel 2, verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Joel 3, verse 14 to 17, summarized in 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 14, the great day of the Lord, a day of wrath and desolation. And now we come to the point. Malachi 4, verse
5.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. We see the seriousness of the matter. Before the terrible day of the Lord comes, God took care of that in our prophetic age takes place a prophetic ministry. And as in the days of Elijah, that God's people are called together and that the decision is being made, if the Lord is God, then serve Him. And the people were gathered and all the hearts were turned back again to the Lord. And then we have the confirmation, as said so many times, in Matthew 17, verse 11 to 13, the confirmation of the future Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And then Mark 9, verse 11 to 13, and he who likes to know it precisely can read it up. In Matthew 17, our Lord refers to the ministry of John the Baptist after he confirmed the promise of Elijah as being in the future. He confirmed it as being true. But in Mark chapter 9, the Lord does not refer at the confirmation to the ministry which was finished, namely to John the Baptist, but to Elijah the Tishbite, as written of him in 1 Kings chapter 19. And there we have the key word, namely the last few words in the last line. the key word, as it is written of him. About John the Baptist, nothing was written, not one word, but of Elijah was already written. And so our Lord just said, as it is written of him. You see how God can lead some around the matter and others he leads into the matter. And he who thinks to know something, he should first humble himself before the Lord, saying to him, our knowledge and intellect is covered with darkness. As a German proverb puts it in a poem, we are just grateful that the Lord has revealed his word to us. And I want you to know it once and for all. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we have preached unto you the prophetic word, which God has entrusted us with, and which he revealed unto us in all the details. We preached it to you, as it was revealed unto his servant and prophet. I still wanted to read a number of scriptures concerning the day of the Lord, concerning the birth pains, concerning the Israel and the church. But even we would know all things of what would come, and especially what will happen after the rapture, it doesn't help us, except we are ready. It's still written in Matthew 25, verse 10, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage supper, with him to the marriage supper, and the door was shut. So, there must be a bride church which is composed of the wise virgins. Also here, we have a few terms here, church, body, virgin, and so forth, and bride. Virgin means untouched, not having committed spiritual fornication, not having continued with all the false doctrines. You all know who the great whore Babylon represents in Revelation chapter 17. And even if even of the 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel is written that they were not defiled with women, then it must just be said very clearly here, the 144,000 don't belong anywhere before. They are waiting for the moment until the two prophets will come. And they are pure. They were not mixing. And they did not accept the doctrines of the Gentiles. Presently, there are about 130 different Jewish messianic denominations in the Holy Land. That's how the reports are. And all are having their interpretations. All are having their own doctrine. But the church of Jesus Christ was taken out from all traditional doctrines of the churches, out from all religious traditions. And it doesn't come into our minds to commit spiritual fornication, but we wish to be sanctified in the word of truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. For us, as believers, Just two more words. The first one from the Epistle of Jude. Here we have the very serious admonition in the Epistle of Jude. In verse 5, it's written, Epistle of Jude, verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them who believed not. A very serious word. Faith in God, faith as the scripture says, is necessary. It's just necessary. We cannot anymore believe what people are saying, what churches are saying. We can only believe what God has promised and what God has said in His Word. Also, within the message, let it be said to all the brethren and to all the peoples all over the world, to the finished and sealed testimony of the Holy Scripture, nothing may be added to it. What God reveals is already written in the Word of God. And it was revealed to us by His grace. Nothing may be added to it, and nothing may be taken away from it. Let us come with this word, which is very serious. At the first, they were being wonderfully laid out, great signs and wonders. And then came the time of testing, the time of murmuring, the time of probation. And behold, the tests were not passed. They murmured against Moses. They murmured against God. We are not satisfied with anything, brothers and sisters, so that it might not repeat now again. Let us enter into the rest of God. We are not waiting in vain. We need patience until the hour of God comes. If I could accelerate something, then I would have done it long time ago. But sometimes I have the impression that one can be rather a hindrance than to help to accelerate something. But let us all together find grace before God, leaving the past behind us, looking in the presence of God into the future, being convinced that God will make all things well. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we have from verse 13 the serious admonition which we all want to take along on our way. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace. I stop here a bit. This comes out even a bit clearer if one reads the second part of it, which I'm going to read you now. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Both is right. The grace of God becomes to us a divine and living reality through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then we not only speak about the grace, then we experienced it personally, because then God has given us his yes, to whom he reveals himself, to him he once and for all revealed himself. When John writes on the Isle of Patmos about the revelation of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, he has seen the Lord. We told it to you many times. Revelation bears within itself the thought that everything what was before covered and veiled is simply unveiled. The veil is taken away, and one can see him of whom it is spoken of. John had the revelation of Jesus Christ. Have you got it? Have I got it? By grace we received it. I told it to you before. When I, beginning of the 80s, came to the Isle of Patmos with such a desire. Here, 79, was of course, everything was over. I didn't know what to do. And I don't want to mention details now. But I was in a great inner desperation. And I went to Egypt. And then I went to Greece. And I came to the Isle of Patmos. I was speaking with the Lord God. I was weeping, wrestling. I said, "Beloved Lord, how will it go on?" I was reading one chapter after the other one, reading and walking around the lake. And I tell you, since that time, God has given me a wonderful access to the book of Revelation. Not because I was on Patmos. On Patmos, many can be. One must be led by the same Holy Spirit into the truth of the Word. And only the Holy Ghost reveals the deep things of God and the deep things of the Word. We of course have the testimony of Brother Branham that the Lord revealed himself personally to him. He has really seen once our Lord, describing even his shape when he was in the cornfield, nicely in the cornfield. Blessed and praised be the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. Hallelujah. In the cornfield, glory be unto our God. All things are placed wonderfully with God. First, the Lord had his head turned a bit sideways. And when Brother Branham spoke out the name of Jesus, the Lord turned around. And Brother Branham said, such a sight. And he fell on his face and worshipped. Brothers and sisters, even we haven't seen our Lord in shape, as written, you didn't see him, but believe on him. We believe. He has revealed himself to us. We have seen him from the Word. have seen him. We can worship and we can say thanks to God for the wonderful leadings. And I say once again, when it is written here about the girding up the loins and remaining sober, this we want to especially recommend to the young people and to the believers in general. Be led by the Spirit. When you are at your workplace or when you speak to people, don't start with the last things, but with the ABC, with how to become a believer. And especially all the young people, plan your lives as if it would be for still 100 years, but live as if tomorrow or today could be the last day. This applies to all of us. We all must plan, but all of us who we are planning earthly things, we have one most inner desire: to become a part of God's plan of salvation, of which it is written in the prophet Isaiah, when God has purposed a plan, who shall disannul it? Who shall hinder him to carry out this plan? God has a wonderful plan. May no reproach come upon the church by our own mistakes. May the faithful Lord be with us and make us sober, be it at work, everywhere, be it Sunday or everyday's life, just being sober in all things. And then we read already in verse 13, and rest your hope fully upon the grace, upon the grace, not on some kind of grace, but upon the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not only a pardoning, not only forgiveness, this is grace to enter into the Holy of Holies, to meet God, so that He can speak with us and reveal Himself to us. And then the word from 1 Peter, chapter 2. There we have it from the faith and obedience. I will not read all the verses. One actually should start from verse 1 to 10. I just want to read verse 9. But maybe for the connection's sake, one must read also verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. This appointing is not unto disobedience, but to the disobedient ones was appointed that they should stumble. And to the obedient who believe, to them it was appointed that they should be being builded up in the most holy faith, so that God can have a dwelling place in the Spirit on this earth. A house, a dwelling. Behold, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. If we time and again emphasize that faith and obedience is important, then you know why it happens. Disobedience followed unbelief. About 6,000 years ago, there in paradise, the disaster and calamity came upon all mankind because of one single unbelief and disobedience. And then, after the disobedience came the transgression. Unbelief, disobedience, transgression, separation from God, death. That was it. Faith, obedience, and a connection with God, and crossing from death into life. And our Lord says, I live, and ye shall live also. I am come so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. How great is our God! How wonderful is His word if it was revealed to us! And how great becomes the grace of God for us
in und durch die Offenbarung Jesu Christi sichtbar,
which has become visible and real to us, namely by the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we read, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Paul, was speaking about grace. But this word in Peter speaks about the grace which was brought unto us at the end of time to us who shall be raptured. By grace it was given to us by the direct revelation of Jesus Christ, of our Lord. And all who will participate in the rapture in this generation, they will appreciate this grace of the revelation of Jesus Christ in a very special way. Speaking about grace and preaching about grace and singing about it, all can do. But we have been given this grace through the revelation of Jesus Christ directly by God. He confirmed it. We're not only speaking about it, we received it. To us, the grace of God was granted. The Almighty God, who has given us such a nice beginning in this year, may He watch and reign over us. May He have His own way with each one of us. May He have His way and His will with the whole church. Let us be ready to follow the word by believing it and obeying it, and to serve the Lord, to love one another and to receive one another, just as God received us in Christ Jesus. To Him, the Almighty God, who has given us in this time of confusion the revelation of Jesus Christ. And by this, also the revelation of all the other mysteries, because Christ is the mystery of God revealed. So we thank God that we may believe as the Scripture has said. And may the word abide and remain with all of us, and may it accomplish for what it was sent for. Don't be discouraged. Have faith. Trust the Lord. He will make all things well. He will bring it to a glorious end. We will see the right hand of the Lord exalted, and His presence will be manifested. Blessed and praised be His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. Let us sing. Maybe I love him. I love him.
Vielleicht noch glaube nur. Glaube nur.
Glaube nur, glaube nur. Alles ist möglich, nur glaube nur.
Do you believe this with all your heart? Then let us pray straight. Whatever your request might be, bring it to the Lord. He made it already well. Also healing and salvation is ready, is here. On the cross of Calvary, both happened. God was in Christ and has reconciled the world with himself, has reconciled us with himself, has taken all our guilt from us, all sins were laid unto the Lamb of God, and he was made sin for us, so that we might receive the righteousness of God in him and through him, a gift of our God. As sure as the blood was shed and the Redeemer gave his life, so sure the redeemed are pardoned, having received the forgiveness of their sins. You just have to receive it by faith, and God, and to thank God for it. The same it is with the healing. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement was laid on him so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. Divine reality with those who believe it with all their hearts. Receive it. We will pray for one another, and faith will become so much alive and mighty that it just has to take place. Faith leads over to the miracle, and God sends his word, and we believe it. And the word which he has sent makes us well, because we have received it. Let us thank him with all our hearts. Hallelujah. Dear Lord and Savior, we thank thee with all our hearts for all the words of the Holy Scripture. We thank thee for the revelation of Jesus Christ, for the grace which was given to us in the revelation, the access to all the mysteries of our God. Dear Lord, save all, heal all, deliver all, glorify thy name, confirm thy word, thy word, thy word, in all who believe it.
Hallelujah. 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 Es ist geschehen. Gott hat es getan.
It has taken place. God did it. God confirmed his word. He confirmed it in you. Upon the authority of the word of God. You are healed, saved, and delivered through the work of redemption on the cross of Calvary.
Hallelujah! 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 Praise und Ehre,
praise, honor, and glory and adoration. Glory and adoration.
Hallelujah. 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 Geliebter Herr.
Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank thee for this day, for the beginning in this year, which you have given to us by your grace. You have given us new courage. You have strengthened us in faith. And we thank thee together for your wonderful speaking and for the revelation through your Spirit, which leads us into all truth. And we thank thee especially for the grace which was given to us by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, and we thank you that you will be with us until we come from believing unto seeing. I thank thee, faithful Lord, that you have worked today in our midst. And it will remain throughout all eternity. Blessed and praised be thou, Lord our God, in Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singen wir noch, du bist würdig, du bist würdig.
You may be seated.